Welcome to Truth, Salt, and Spice, the podcast. I'm calling this kind of a special edition because we are definitely living in uncertain times with the spread of the coronavirus and COVID-19. We have the word quarantine being thrown around a lot. Some people are choosing to quarantine themselves. Some people have to quarantine themselves. And then some of us are doing the self-isolation. Some people call it sheltering in place. But whichever you choose or have made to, we are all actually being made to disconnect physically from the world, whether it be work, family, events. So it's definitely a new thing. But with this word quarantine being thrown out around a lot, I thought of Jesus when he was tempted after 40 days of fasting. So I'm going to go ahead and get right into this. So let's see. I would hope that you bring with you a Bible. I would hope that you have pen or pencil. I myself prefer to write with pencil. And I pray that you come with an open heart, with ears to hear, and a heart to learn and to be led by Spirit. I pray that my words help you feel closer to God and comforted during this time, and that at the end of this little series that you feel more secure in God's love, empowered, and at peace. So, without much further ado, let's go ahead and get started. I'm not going to do all the fancy music stuff and whatnot because, frankly, I'm not feeling too good. I have this out-of-control allergies, and I don't know if you can hear it in my voice. I'm a little winded because I'm actually even using an inhaler and such. No, I don't have COVID. I don't think so anyway. So I pray that I can make it through this recording without coughing. So let's set up the background now. In Matthew 3, Jesus gets baptized by John the Baptist, his cousin. And at the end, God says that Jesus is beloved son and that he is well pleased. So we start in Matthew 4, verse 1. And we'll just are going to dive into verse 1 through 4. So verse 1 says, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So let's just stop right there. You know, I read that, and the first thing I thought was, if at any moment any of us ever thought that we would not purposefully be led or to be tested, we already lost the battle. Jesus was led by Spirit, it says the Spirit, into the wilderness to be tempted. And I don't know about you, but I don't really like that, but it is what it is. After that, it says, and after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. I don't know about you, but fasting is not my thing. I've tried it a couple times, and let me tell you something. I don't do well without food. I get hangry. So I can't even imagine doing it for more than a day or two or three, to 40 days and 40 nights. Verse 3, and the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these two stones to become loaves of bread. Verse 4, but he answered, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. So that's where we're going to start today. I had mentioned in the preview last week that the word quarantine comes from in Italian and in Latin, 40 days. At least in Spanish, the word quarantine, cuarentena, is used to refer to Lent as well. So this 40-day thing is very appropriate or apropos for what we're talking about. So let's dig into just verse 1. And my question to you is, are you equipped? I mean, if Jesus was led to be tempted, what makes us think that we're not, right? We have this saying in Puerto Rico that says, en guerra avisada no muere gente. And so basically, it says if you are told or warned about an impending attack or war, you shouldn't, there should be no deaths, right? And so if we know we were warned, you know, about what is to come, why wouldn't we be prepared and arm ourselves up to fight against unnecessary struggle, right? So, you know, as I was writing this up, I was thinking, I have chickens and I buy feed for them. And the feed comes in 50-pound sacks. I can carry 50 pounds with some struggle. I mean, it's because it has feed in it. It's kind of, you know, moves around and it's just not, you know, a dead lump. So I can, you know, manage to bring the sack from the car, whichever vehicle I choose, and take it to the chicken coop. However, I can also choose to ask my son or my daughter to help me. That help could be, can you take it, period, and not me not take it at all. We could do it together, as in, you know, one of us carries one end, the other one the other end, dividing the load in half. I could use a wheelbarrow and push, you know, the sack, whatever, the 50-pound bag, all the way to the chicken coop. So I have a lot of options. And I feel that a lot of times we are so used to being independent that we forget to ask for help and to be equipped and prepared accordingly. So I want us to jump over to James 1. James 1, chapter 1, verse 1 through 8. So it says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Listen, that verse right there could just be a whole other Bible study. And it's one of my favorite ones, especially about being tossed around like wave, like the waves in a wave in the sea. So here's just proof that we are going to have trials. The Bible warns us, so it's not anything new that we should think that we aren't going to have trials. I mean, this virus is a mega one. I mean, we're not talking about something, I don't want to say simple, but I mean, compared to many other things, it's pretty complicated because it attacks health, it attacks your income, it attacks your connection physically with people. I mean, it is a full-on major attack on our society for sure. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 13. It says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. Here it says, there are temptations that are common. But God is faithful. That but I put in there, it's not in the Bible. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So I know a lot of people say that God won't give you more than you can handle, which maybe this is what that came from, but that's not true. He will not tempt you or let you be tempted beyond your ability. And not only that, he's actually going to provide you a way out. So what does that mean for you and I? Let's look at Satan's first strike. Let's go back to Matthew 4. Satan says, if you are the Son of God, if, I don't know about you, but there are a lot of ifs that float in our minds. And Satan has only as much power as we allowed him to have over us. So if you already have the soil prime for if, doubt, that you're not willing to actually fight with truth, he will plant seeds. So what are some ifs that we have? You know, if I were smarter, taller, thinner, or fatter, or richer, or married, if I were a mother, if I were, you know, a father, if, fill in the blank, right? Then what? Like, what would happen if all these things that you feel inadequate about were actually taken away, right? So what about if God loved you, then you wouldn't struggle economically or in your marriage or raising children or in your job. If. So how do you fight that? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 12:9. So 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We are weak, right? So if you want to take your rightful place, you'll want to take your rightful place in the kingdom at God's feet. I think we have this habit of being so independent that we forget to remember that while we are an heir and we are, you know, God's beloved, he's still our God and he's still our Father. And so we are not God and we are not an equal. And so, you know, by calling to him, he will fight for you and alongside you. You know, this actually took me to the word Azer, and it's spelled E-Z-E-R. And, you know, in order to believe that God is for you, you have to know him from the beginning to the end. So we're talking about from like Revelation, Genesis to Revelation. So this word Azer is found in the Old Testament 21 times. Is what I found when I was doing a little research. In Genesis, is mentioned 2 times, and it's in reference to Eve, but all the other times, it's in reference to himself. So, you know, God is our, I think it was succor. Succor is how you pronounce that. It's S-U-C-C-O-R. And that just means that he's our assistant, our support in times of hardship and distress. He's a furnisher of relief. So in order to actually get help, we have to be humble. I mean, you have to admit that you need and want help first. Then you need to accept it. And then you need to believe it and put it to the test by using it. I know that we're not supposed to test God in a sense, but how will you ever know how faithful God is if you don't allow him to show up. So what does Jesus fight back with when Satan tempts him? So let's go back to Matthew 4. Jesus says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." So Jesus comes back with scripture. I mean, he didn't engage in some long philosophical Facebook rant about all the things relevant and irrelevant to prove Satan's wrong. He didn't need to do that. Scripture does not need our support. God's word stands alone on its own power. You fight Satan with simple truth. It's black and white. I'm not saying it's easy, but that's the truth. It's a simple truth. So let's go to Deuteronomy 8, which is the scripture that Jesus quoted there. Deuteronomy 8, verse 1 through 5. The whole commandment that I command you today you shall be careful to do. I'm sorry about that. Let me start again. The whole commandment that I command you today shall be you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So I don't know about this whole, you have Jesus, 40 days fasting. You have the Israelites 40 years. I mean, that's some supersized quarantine right there. I'm not going to get into all that because, frankly, I haven't studied it. I don't know a whole lot to dig into that specifically, or that it even has any correlation. But the fact that these scriptures have led me to this word that I feel like God put on my heart, quarantine, there's something here to this for sure. But what I know is that no matter what, no matter if you doubt, it's not a matter of if you will doubt, it's when you doubt. Truth is your way out. So in order to find your way out, you need to abide in him. Why do we need to live by every word that comes out of God's mouth? I mean, if Jesus quotes it and tells us, there's a reason for that. And that leads us to Hebrews 4. So let's march on over there. Hebrews 4:12. It says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning." It's no accident that God chose to use a weapon as the image for his word. I want to focus on the very last part. It says it discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So, if you take your thoughts and measure them against the word of God, and that should always be how you discern for yourself and how you discern your actions against what your when your doubts and your ifs and just the enemy trying to come in and plant those seeds of discord within yourself. Jesus could have fed himself, and I don't know what the outcome or the repercussions, in the big scheme of the biblical narrative would have been. But if he did not first have a knowledge of scripture to draw from when he was being tempted, and then had the faith to use it, then he would have missed out on the feast that God had waiting for him. And I think a lot of times we're tempted and fall into that temptation of fixing things ourselves and doing things, you know, our way. And God's grace covers all that. I mean, it's not a once and done thing. Nothing's over until we're dead. But we miss out on so much that I know that's so much better that God already has waiting for us because we take things into our own hands. And so right now I want us to, I want to leave you with some self-reflection and a little bit of homework, if you will. So here's a question for you. So how equipped are you to flourish during this time of quarantine? What can you do differently to go deeper with God and trust Him more? And last but not least, choose one of the scriptures mentioned today and commit to memorizing it so that you start either fortifying more your spiritual armor or to start building one. So let's pray. Papa, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that it is a weapon for us to use in against the enemy and his sly attacks. I pray that your word spoken here today uplifts many, encourages, and overall is a platform for love, peace, and comfort from you. I pray that between recordings, that spirit helps the listeners really focus and to masticate on what you want them to get out of this. I pray that Spirit gives us discernment on how to use scriptures and that it is clear that the enemy uses half-truths to lie to us and to weaken us. Thank you for your grace and your unconditional love. We pray this in your Son's Jesus' name. Amen.